Hey, everybody, welcome to the Balance Boss podcast. I am your host, Lauren Zoller, and today's guest is Dina Babel. Dina is an expert in the field of relationships. She is also an author, TV personality, sought-after speaker, relationship coach, medical expert, registered nurse, and the founder of the Fatherless Daughter Movement. Dina is an award-winning author of The Fatherless Daughter Project and has been seen on The Today Show, Fox News, CNN, Sirius XM, Dirty Sexy Funny with Jenny McCarty, and many other media outlets. She is a weekly contributor to the NBC's Atlanta and Company on Real Talk and has her own weekly show, Keeping It Real with Dina, on the UI Media Network. Her upcoming work includes her next book called Lead Strong, and she is also writing her first script, The Coach's Wife, while she sleeps. She lives in Atlanta with her husband and her two children, Sophie Blue and Weston Gray. I'm so excited to have Dina on the show today. Without further ado, let's jump right in.
Welcome to the Balanced Boss Podcast, where we discuss how to live abundantly in all areas of your life. Here is your host and work-life balance coach, Lauren Zoller.
Dina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm excited to have you. So I always start the Balance Boss podcast with something a little fun. I do an intention setting for the listeners. So I'm actually going to hand that over to you today to set an intention for how you want the listeners to feel as the podcast is happening or what you want them to take away as an intention once we're done with our interview today.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So I think the intention that I would like to set is that you're not broken. Wherever you are right now in your life is where you're supposed to be. And everything that is supposed to happen to you will happen to you. I want for this conversation to empower people and show them that there's a couple of things that they can do to bring the love that they want into their life. And take whatever power that they feel like they may have given away to circumstance, to their past, to their present, and know that it's easy to pull that power back in, change your narrative, and get the love you want. So I would just ask everyone to please have grace with themselves and to also have a lot of fun. We're going to have fun during this call today.
I love it so much. And full disclosure, and transparency, I'm so excited to have you on because I'm currently in my own relationship journey of being, you know, I'm 32 years old, career came first, and I'm really diving deep into a lot of, you know, stuff of conditioning from my past. So I am so excited about this conversation today.
Good. You're the perfect pupil.
I can be your little test subject for the next 20 to 30 minutes.
Get my sage out and get ready for the next 30 or 45 minutes.
I love it. So can you tell us a little bit about you and your story? I personally know your story. It's amazing how you've come to where you are, but I'd love to hear it from the person. I know that you began as a registered nurse. Yep. How did this all transform into a relationship expert?
Oh my God, it's so crazy. So I was born in Charleston, South Carolina, where everything's about potions and love and what you want in the world and all this good stuff. You know, I grew up where there was a psychic around every corner, and my mom was like the resident relationship guru in our neighborhood, even though we didn't call it that. And she had this book of horoscopes. It was this big, thick book about signs. And so I'd watch her, you know, make a glass of tea and talk to all of her friends in the neighborhood about their relationship issues. And so through osmosis, I kind of started doing the same thing. So by the time I was in high school, when friends would meet, you know, a guy or a girl, I would say, hold on, let me pull out the book and I'll tell you if y'all are going to have a life full of bliss. And that parlayed into me starting a greeting card company called Dear John. And the tagline was what everybody's thinking but won't say. And then I had a singles column. I went to become a life coach. And as a registered nurse, you can do a lot of research, both quantitatively and qualitatively. And I wanted to really understand, and have always wanted to understand, why things are the way they are. I'm like the analyzing queen, right? I think for me, I lost my father when I was 13, which was extremely traumatic and made me grow up really quickly. And I got through it by living through it, but I didn't really get through it, right? So I still had all these wounds and a lot of things that I carried with me. And it wasn't until my mid-20s when I basically run from everything. You know, on paper, I was doing everything right. But in reality, relationships, I just couldn't really grasp. I hurt a lot of people. And I couldn't understand why women would kind of fall down, you know, when they went through a broken heart. And it was mainly because I wouldn't give anyone my heart, right? Mm-hmm. So I was the queen of telling everybody what to do. Don't put up with this. Tell them goodbye. Don't do this. Don't do that. And through my 20s, I started fumbling a lot. On paper, I did not. Personally, I was. And by the time I was 30, I'd been divorced. I was a lot like the runaway bride on with Julia Roberts, but I was on TV as a relationship expert by that time. I was writing a relationship column continuously. I had a thriving company and was doing it, but I wasn't living it, right? And it takes time to understand that. So I wanted to go back through and figure out why the defining moment in my life with my father passing, how that affected me in my adult relationships. And as I like to say it, my inner child was driving the car versus sitting in the back seat, right? Mm. So I would have tantrums or emotional immaturity type outbreaks or outbursts that I just could not understand. It was like being on a pendulum of having it completely together or completely not together. There wasn't a middle road. So I put a lot of work and therapy and did a lot of work on myself and got involved in many, many things to learn a lot about the methodology behind why I was the way I was. Wrote my first book called The Fatherless Daughter Project to really understand how our parenting, you know, our lack of parenting or however you want to phrase it, affects our childhood into our adulthood. Because I think we can say, oh, our dad's an alcoholic, so we're not going to, you know, date people that are alcoholics. But it's bigger than that, right? Like, what are your core values? What are the verbal and nonverbal cues that were consciously or subconsciously put into you? What are your boundaries? What are your triggers? How do you curate relationships, right? And all of that comes from a lineage, and we bring it with us. And so I ended up writing Love Strong mainly because I'd spent 2 decades working with women and now a lot of men about why they are where they are, why they can capture everything in their life, but true, strong, magical love for a lot of people eludes them. And I wanted to help people understand, like, here's a quick method you can go through to figure it out. And it doesn't take 5 years of therapy. You can literally do it through the guidelines of a book. So I'm excited.
Yeah, that's incredible. It's funny that you said that because my personal story, I grew up in a very loving household. My parents are still very happily married after 36 years of being together. But I too have just started diving into this work and really realized how emotionally unavailable in a lot of ways my father was.
Yeah.
And so I love that you're taking this and making it so that it's tangible for women who are, you know, whether they're in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, who are trying to find that love, how it's accessible. So there really is something that you can follow in order to kind of dig deeper into that.
I think so, you touched on something real quick that I just want to make sure we highlight.
Yeah.
A lot of us have a disconnect with a mother or father due to an emotional abandonment. And mm-hmm. It could be that that mother or father sits right beside you every single day, but they don't know you, right? And yeah. So they might be providing financially, they might be doing the best they can, but they don't know you or they don't see you. And an emotional absence in a lot of ways is much harder than a physical absence, right? Because emotional absence makes you believe it's you or something that you can continue to contort yourself into to get the love you want. And most of the time, it's obviously about the other person.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think I love that you brought that up, because I think that that was something that I really struggled with going through some of this work as well, was that, you know, I am very close with my, with both of my parents, and I didn't, there was almost a sense of denial in that, and really having to focus on, but wait, my dad was not, he was a great father. He was a fantastic father, but there was an emotional component about the relationship that was not met for me, that I have continued to try to find in partners mm-hmm. up until now. That was, there was just a piece missing, and it wasn't anything. And, you know, now that I look into it, it really had to do with the way that he was raised and the emotional absence that he received, right? It was this generational trauma that was passed down.
Exactly right.
Right. That I had a chance to kind of look into, but you're so right. It's so hard. It's easy to understand why there is this void when a parent is not physically present. Mm-hmm. But when a family member or a parent is physically present in your life and they're a strong support system, it's a little bit harder to navigate that conversation. So in saying that, this is kind of going off script, where do you suggest that people start? If they were, say they're in my, you know, my shoes, where they did have strong parents, and they start to do some of this work, where do you feel like someone should start to uncover some of that?
Yeah, I think you can start from wherever you are, to be honest with you. And I'm a big proponent of therapy. I mean, I had a lot of trauma, so I needed therapy. But in today's world, right, we want what we want right now. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to go sit through a year or 2 years or 3 years necessarily of therapy, even though we may need it. And so I wanted to put that all in the compact of a book. Like, how can I pick it up, especially during quarantine, and do the work on myself and just walk away with what is it that I have, you know, still to do? So I would say you start with a basic way to do it is to start with something that I do in the book. And it's called, it's an Enneagram test. And we use that in corporate America, right? And in corporate America, we use it to understand personalities and how we work with people. And I wanted to parlay that in how do we emotionally work with interpersonal relationships, right? Like the person that we choose, we need to understand who they are, who they are, their self, who they are perceived to be in the world, and how others, you know, perceive them back. And a lot of times that tells us, and it's based on a fear that started in our childhood, like I'm scared to be alone or I'm not good enough. And it's not that it's negative, but there's two ways to look at it. Do you live out of that fear or do you live out of love, right? And we mm-hmm. all go back to the fear, and that's how we put ourselves out in the world. Now, when we're confident, we don't, but our biggest fear is how do we master that in this lifetime, right? And so when you understand your personality style, it'll start to help you understand how to tell people what you need and how to be loved. Because what we all do is we all try to love people the way we need to be loved, right? And if you look at that old book about love languages and all that, the reality is everybody comes from it from a different vantage point. So I'd say the first thing to do is, if you don't have the book, you can go to my website and there's a free test, and it's about if you're loving strong or weak. And there's just a couple of little, you know, tidbits in there that you can take a quiz to find out if you're married, you know, am I in a good, healthy marriage where I feel like I'm loving strong? If I'm single, was my relationship prior, was it a weak situation? So like, if you're loving strong, you feel empowered, restored, you feel peace, confident, you treat people kindly, you accept yourself and others, and you're happy and you feel hopeful. Whereas if you're in a strong, like a loving, weak relationship, whether it's a friendship, a work life balance, or whatever it is, you will question yourself, you'll feel misunderstood, you'll act out in anger, you'll feel fear, you'll try to change who you are constantly and question who you are, and you'll feel crazy and kind of out of control. And mm-hmm. I think what happens is when we go through a week process like that, if we give everything we got, right, and we still don't get what we want, that's when we lose it. And that is the most magical time in your life. So for you, you're in the most magical time of your life, because right now you have the chance to go, okay, all this stuff has not worked. I can rebuild and I can figure out exactly what it is that I want. And in Love Strong, we call it the mirror effect. And it's that one relationship that leaves you kind of thrown out, you know, where you have to get up, look in a mirror and go, this didn't work. Mm-hmm. I used every tool that I had and it still didn't work. And then you have to turn it inward a little bit and go, okay, I'm sick of this. How do I take my power back? I've grieved this. I'm down on the floor. I'm eating Ben and Jerry's. I've been watching Hallmark for 4 days. Like, I got to get it together, right? And you need that grace period to allow yourself to break, because if you don't, you'll just recycle it. But once you break, that's the magical part. And that's where the book will find you.
I love it. I love it so much. I'm definitely going to be reading the book. So it's such in the forefront of what's going on in my personal journey. But I have a question too, because I know that we've talked a lot about attracting that love into your life. But a lot of the listeners that listen to the Balance Boss podcast are married, or they are with a significant other and they've been with a significant other for a while. Uh-huh. How do you speak to the people that are already in relationship who may be having troubles? How do they create this sense of a brag-worthy relationship, even though they're already in it, if some of this stuff starts to come up?
Oh my God, I'm in it. I mean, I'm married. I've been with my husband for almost 20 years. And we dated 8 years. We've been married for 12. And I even have to check myself on all this, right? Because you don't marry someone and then, you know, the Holy Grail opens up, right? it doesn't happen. You marry someone and then you go, oh God, I got even more shit. You know, I have more stuff going on than right. I didn't know that I had. And so the reality is, when you're single, you can beat your own self up and your, you know, gaggle of girlfriends can tell you what you've done wrong. But when you're in a marriage, it's there every single day, right? So mm-hmm. what I would say is, one of the things that I think works really well, and we talk about this a lot in the book, is understanding a couple of things. Your conflict style. So if you're in a marriage, there's 5 conflict styles, right? There's battlers, there's compromisers, there's avoiders, there's all these different type of styles. If you know how you argue and how your significant other argues, and you know their style, like if they're a battler, right, they're going to want to be right no matter what, and everybody else is going to lose. So if you can go to that husband or wife and say, okay, here's kind of how you are. This is when it works. It works when we're trying to make a decision about who's going to do our taxes, or, you know, where we're going to eat and I can't make my mind up. It doesn't work when I'm telling you about my emotions and you shut down, or you shut me down, right? Mm-hmm. So I would say conflict style is a huge one. Also understanding a lot about, when I go back to that Enneagram of personality types, like my husband is a perfectionist. Okay. He's the number one on this Enneagram conflict type personality test. And I am what's called an optimist. So I walk around like, yeah, I can make everything great. Life's good. Not clueless. Just, I like to stay in the positive, where in my, you know, gut fear is abandonment. His is perfectionism. So he has to write his list. He has to check off everything every day. If I try to impede on that list or stop him from doing what he needs to feel fulfilled by, then I'm not going to get what I want. So mm-hmm. I have to wait till 7 o'clock when he's finished. And say, let me tell you what's going on with me today. And I mean, it's not ideal because we want what we want, but listen, relationships are that easy. we just have to understand each other, what our histories are, what makes us who we are, and then everything else honestly works pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think that there's so much to take away from that too, in even in the dating world, right? It's that whole, and I think that that's where the disconnect really happens, whether you're in a relationship or you start to date someone and it becomes a little more serious. It's that inability to want to really get to know that other person, even when it feels, even when it starts, because, you know, the honeymoon stage will wear off.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting too. Most of us have a specific area in relationships where we fall down, right? Mm. So some people, if you look at phases of relationships, some people fall down in the attraction phase, some do it in the courting phase, some do it in the commitment phase. So let me give you an example. If you fall down a little bit in the attraction phase, when all the good serotonin's going on and, you know, you bring his name up, if someone talks about tacos, you're like, Steve loves tacos, right? If you're in the attraction phase and that's where you falter, it's because you don't look, things get harder and you're not looking at it, right? So it's not flowing in the beginning phases the way it should. So maybe he told you a little lie, or he was rude to a waitress, or different things that go against your core values, right? You might go, well, you know what? I'm going to give him another chance. Well, that could go back to your mom type or your dad type or somewhere else, right? Or let's say that you have it in the commitment phase. You love, you're enjoying everything. And then the minute we start to talk about commitment, then, you know, a person may say, well, I got to be at this point in my career. Or, you know, my parents had a divorce, so I don't want to get married until I'm 47. Or, you know, and that's when you start, all these things come up. And you have to see, where am I picking? Where am I choosing? Where is it that I start to have issues either with the other person or with myself? And the cool thing about In Love Strong is if you do your relationship history, you will figure out exactly where it happens.
Mm.
It's really interesting.
That's so interesting. And I'm just excited. I'm really excited to go through this book. And I think a lot of people that are listening are excited, will be excited to go through it too, because it just really highlights, it sounds like it really highlights all of the things that really, you know, make people fall on their face. And if I take a look at my past relationship history, mm-hmm. and I really break them down to the relationships that did not work, there's a trend there.
Absolutely.
There's definitely a trend.
There's always a trend. And I'll tell you what's really interesting that no one ever talks about. So when your parents get married or have children, or whether they're married or not or whatever, right? They came together from two different vantage points at two different parts of life, right? Whether they were 20, 40, whatever. When your dad met your mom, when your mom met your dad, they both had wants and needs that may have nothing to do with your wants and needs, right? Your mom could have said, okay, I just finished college. You're supposed to get married. You know, Fred looks like the guy I'm supposed to marry. Your dad could have said, my mom said, you know, subconsciously, I'm supposed to marry a woman who is a school teacher or a nurse, who is an accommodator, and who let me go follow my career or whatever, right? So they got together out of a different need than maybe what you need as an adult. And so if you're following their patterns, which you will be, because they're ingrained in us, what Love Strong will do will show you which ones that you can just kind of cut bait with.
Yeah, I love it so much. I think it's so, so important. So tell me this really quick. So I know that the book is very geared towards women, mm-hmm. but we do have some men that listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Can you speak to, I assume it's the same process, right? Yeah. But should men take it a little differently, or is there something that they need to be doing that is, you know, that females don't do when it comes to dissecting relationships and or their dating life?
Here would be a couple of takeaways. Every man should read this book because you're going to get into a woman's head.
Yeah.
Right? Believe me, it's juicy. Okay. And this is the other thing. A woman will treat you exactly the way she wants to be treated until she feels like she's not getting what she wants, and then she'll treat you the way you treat her. Mm. And so what happens is men jump in these relationships and they're like, she's great. Everything's great. She's watching football. She doesn't complain. She doesn't da da da. Well, because you're giving her what she needs, right? The minute that you start to wane from that, she's going to then go, okay, I'm going to beat him in his own game. So he holds out from me. I'm going to hold out from him, right? He doesn't call me when he goes out with the guys, so I'm not going to call him. Every woman does it. What I have found is, and I work with a lot of men. I'm almost 50-50 at this point with men and women. And here's what I find the most interesting. The biggest issue that men have is how to break it off with a woman they're not into.
Mm.
And I was laughing, saying I should start a company called Clean Cut and just tell them how to cut it off. Because women just want the truth. It's not that hard. We just want to know the truth.
Yes.
We just want to know that you're not attracted to us, but we want to know, like, look, I do want a future with someone. I don't think it's you. Here's what I'm capable of giving you. We can go to the movies. You know, we can talk once or twice a month. But if you think this is going to go anywhere else, then I want to make sure that I'm very clear with you. Because what I have a client right now that is perpetually trying to break up with women, right? And he's a good looking guy and he gets a lot of women hit on him and he's been married and divorced. And he's just a nice guy. And I don't mean like he gets run over. I mean, he's a really nice guy. I'll help anyone if their car breaks down, anything. Well, he can't understand why women won't let go. And I'm like, well, you're going to rescue her when her car is broken down, right? You have to say, listen, I'll be glad to help you. You should call, you know, AAA or blah, blah, blah. Or if you go rescue her and do that, just say, hey, great, but I have a date tonight, you know, or whatever. But I think that men are really good people and they just want to find love just like we do, right? And men will tell you exactly what they want. It's just, do we listen?
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. And that was a huge shift that happened even in my own life, even outside of, and that we were talking about men, but something that I really have made an effort to do really just this past year is if I go on a date immediately after, if I'm not into it, just being transparent, honest, saying you're a fantastic person, you're a great guy. The connection's just not there. And the first couple times that I did that, I was terrified. Yeah. And I tell you what, I mean, the response that I get has always been, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for being transparent.
That's exactly right. You know, you hear about this stuff like and I write about it in the book, like commitment phobes or submarines or all these, you know, different types of guys that we like to say or call. Women are the same way, right? Mm-hmm. The breadcrumb giver, the ghoster, whatever. And it's like a lot of us do the same stuff. It's just we're so scared to hurt someone the way we've once been hurt.
Right.
Right. So we do everything to avoid that. And it's because we all come from a place of really loving, strong, and we all want to feel that. We all want to make other people feel like that. But when we're pushed in a corner and we don't have the tools, we may have them, but we don't know how to utilize them.
Mm-hmm.
We do stuff that hurts other people.
Yeah.
And it's just as basic as that. So I think just almost giving yourself like a little, it's like taking a green grass shot to read Love Strong. You just get empowered. You kind of get your thoughts back in order and go, okay, I can do this. Let me see. These are the couple of things I need to probably take a look at. And then I got this.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it so much. So I feel like we could talk about this all day.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. I feel like there's so many other questions that I want to ask you, but we have to keep it at time. And I have one more kind of fun question that I ask everyone that comes on the Balance Boss podcast. So since this is the Balance Boss, and it's all about how the people that I bring on really stay balanced in their current career and also in their marriage and in their home life, what are some of your non-negotiables that keep you grounded both at work and in your relationship? Like, what are things that happen on a daily basis, monthly basis, that are just absolute non-negotiables for you to stay balanced?
Ooh, I love it. I love it. It's hard for anybody to stay balanced in quarantine. I can tell you that.
Yes.
I've tried to have grace with myself, but I'll tell you, you got to work with what you're really good at, right? And I think there's a couple of things. Start your day with what the one thing you don't want to do, right? So if you have to write something, if you have to pay bills, if you have a conference call, whatever it is, try to put it more towards the beginning of the day so you can get that kind of energy done and taken care of. The other thing that keeps me balanced is I'm really good at time management. Okay. It doesn't mean I'm organized, but I'm good at time management, meaning I will say no in a quick second. Like, I can't do that. I can't give it what I need to give it. No, not going to do it. And that keeps me very balanced because I know how to take time for myself. My husband would probably say too much, but when you're a creative person, I take in everything that's going on in the world constantly. And in my mind, I'm writing little jingles, or I'm going to write this book, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. So it's very empathetic and taking all that in. I need time to go process that a little bit, right? Write it down, think about it, and do that so that I can give back to other people. So for me, the key is time management, taking time for myself to do something I actually really want to do. And as cheesy as it sounds, to celebrate the smallest stuff. So it could be, hey, I cleared off my calendar today and didn't have that last conference call, right? I'm going to go have a glass of wine. Or celebrating, like, you know what? My husband cooked dinner tonight. That was great. We don't do that. We watch it and we take these things in and we go, God, thanks for that. But we don't talk about it. We're
right
to talk about the negative. So I'd say bring in, you know, a couple of positives during the day, because that's how that narrative shift happens in your mind.
I love it so much. I think that's so, so important. It's funny. I just did a solo episode yesterday about, you know, something that you can do to beat imposter syndrome and stay balanced is to celebrate your wins. Like, you've got to celebrate, you've got to have those milestones, even the little things you have to celebrate. So I love that you brought that back up. So tell me, I know that Love Strong that's kind of what's happening in your world right now. Can you let the listeners know where they can purchase the book and also what other things that you have going on right now, where they can find you on, you know, your website, Instagram? Can you just plug yourself for a second?
Love to plug myself. So you can buy Love Strong anywhere you can buy books. And please, 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 if you buy it and read it and you even like it a little bit, please write a comment on Amazon, or, you know, because that's how books get sold and how things happen. So I'd love that. DinaBabel.com. There's free quizzes. There's a chapter from the book for free there you could read if you want to check it out, and all the good stuff I do there. Currently, I'm working on two more books, one called Lead Strong, and it's about women in corporate America. And the other one is actually a fun book, and it's called The Coach's Wife. I wrote it as a TV show, and HBO had it, but we didn't do anything with it. So I'm going to probably turn it into a book, and it's a love story, and it's like Ballers meet Sex in the City. So it's really fun. Instagram is DinaBabel.com, Facebook DinaBabel, or it's DinaBabel Writer. And then Facebook, I also have a Facebook page for fatherless daughters, and it's called the Fatherless Daughter Movement. Mm. And then there's a private one called the Fatherless Daughter Movement Tribe, where you can get on there and say whatever you need to say. But it's a really cool place where a lot of women go and just talk about the things that they're dealing with and trials and tribulations through their journey of connecting or reconnecting or disconnecting maybe from their father. And the last thing I'll say is I love men, very pro men. And a lot of times when you do this work, you know, people think, okay, what's up? The reality is we need the men in our lives. We need our fathers. We need our husbands. We need our best guy friends. And so my whole journey is about bringing the two together. and helping us understand who we are and how to love and how we can love each other a little bit better.
Love it so much. Dina, thank you so much for coming onto the show and sharing your heart and your wisdom. So much that I took away. And also I know that my listeners took away tons of information that they can use in their own love life, whether they're dating or in a serious relationship or marriage. Hopefully we can have you on the show again soon. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.